Turn to a verse in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 44. It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened. I'd like to talk a little bit this afternoon about what I feel the Lord's laid on my heart, kept me awake. I'm a man of science. I want to know how the world was made. And the Scripture tells us how it was made. It was made by God's power, by His Word. But as believers, we can ask the God who made the universe. He made it a certain way. Why did He make it that way? He had a purpose and making it that way. Proverbs chapter 8 says, when He spread the heavens, I was there at His side. That's the Lord Jesus personifying wisdom. So when God spread the heavens, there was wisdom in how He made the universe and how He spread the heavens. And in the creation that we live in, the brightest object that you have ever seen and that I have ever seen is the sun. And the universe we live in, where there's life and seasons, is all centered around the sun. Everything revolves around the sun. And it's wonderful that in English you have the sun, and it's pronounced exactly the same. It's just a wonder. We don't have that in French. You're privileged. The S-O-N. Because I believe the S-U-N is a picture of the S-O-N. The sun. So He is the source of light and the source of heat. We had in our hymn, God is light. And we see the light of creation and how we need it. And we need the light that the Lord Jesus brings. He says, I am the light of the world. Who are we to speak of such a one? In the book of Job, it says in Job chapter 42, I believe, might be 40, I might look at that for a moment. Job 42. Who is He? Verse 3. Job 42, verse 3. Who is he that hideth counsel from knowledge, without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here's Job, and long discourse of Job, and his friends too. They did talk a lot. But here Job, he kind of comes to a point where he says, who is he that without knowledge hideth counsel? I believe that means that in my understanding of things that I don't know, I can be hiding something that I can't, others can't see because I've understood it wrong. So he comes and he says, I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Many things I don't know, and I'm sure everybody here will say, we know in part. There are things that we do know. They're clear in the Word of God. Other things, perhaps it's hard to define and come to a conclusion on that. And surely we can speak about those things, but we need to be careful. We're not speculating that we have the Word of God for the basis of what we believe and speak to others of. I thank the Lord. I have wonderful opportunities in the gospel. And I'd like to just share a little bit on responsibility. We had some thoughts on sovereignty yesterday. And I'd like to talk to you about my shower doors. This morning, I was in the shower in the hotel. And my shower has sliding doors. Two doors. And yesterday I was in the shower and I had the doors mixed up. So the handle I had, I was ending up on the counter. So I couldn't get out there. I didn't have the right handle. And the other door didn't have a handle. The handle was on the other side. So I did slide it around. But this morning, here I am. I come out of the shower, got all the handles straight, and the doors start moving by themselves. They did. They kind of slid back in the right position. I was outside, and the handle to get inside was on the outside. And when I got into the shower this morning, when I was inside, the handle to get outside was on the inside. I had a handle to come in, and I had a handle to come out. But the important thing, I had a shower. I don't want to be funny. Those two railroad tracks, I've mentioned it to others. It's on my heart, brethren. I want to share it with you. Sovereignty, responsibility. But the important thing is the train. And the train is Christ. You hear the gospel, you're responsible to come in. You know the gospel, you're responsible to go out and tell them about the Lord. How it happens in the hearts of men, I don't understand. Ecclesiastes said that, how the bones are formed inside I. I know there's a seed and there's quickening life there, and that's what the Spirit of God does with the Word of God. But that's how He does it. He does it by the preaching of the gospel, presenting Christ to souls. And we need to feel our responsibility with that. The Son here in Luke 23, it was darkened. And I'm sure here this morning, every one of us, doesn't matter where our thoughts are, we consider the Son of God. When He was made sin for you and me on the cross, where He echoed these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the center of it all. That unfathomable person that the Father only knows, who gave Himself for you and for me. You know, in creation, God has made times on the earth when the sun is darkened. They had one recently, solar eclipse. We didn't get to see it here. But in Iceland, I believe, they got, if it was not a cloudy day, they could have seen an eclipse of the sun. Total eclipse of the sun. What is before the sun when there's a total eclipse of the sun? It's the moon. Who made the moon? God made the moon. Who gave the orb so the moon would come and blot out the sun? God did that in His wisdom for the spectators that we are. And I'm sure many of you in this room, if not all, you have seen through the Lord Jesus on the cross, the eclipse of the sun for you. I have one record in my life of a real solar eclipse, and I didn't really see it because it was cloudy, but they did have warned everybody not to look. If you stared at the sun, you would damage your eyes. But when there's an eclipse, it doesn't glare at you and it doesn't blind you. But if you look, you're going to damage your eyes. Of the heavenly bodies God has made, the sun, the moon, and the stars, 1 Corinthians 15, we know. Beautiful picture of resurrection, the stars. Picture of the saints in glory, deferring glory from one to another. The glory of the moon. What's particular about the moon, it doesn't have personal glory, it's got reflective glory. It only has glory when it's directing its face towards the sun. And it reflects His glory. And the sun, well, astronomers don't agree, but the sun, to me, is the brightest object in that sky that I can look at. I appreciate stars. When the sun comes out, the stars disappear. When the Lord appears in glory, we're going to be manifesting glory with Him, but He's the one that's going to be seen in us, isn't He? But I was touched by the fact that even when the sun is shining, you can still see the moon sometimes. And the Lord will manifest in glory that church, which doesn't have itself a glorious body. We are going to have glorious bodies, but the church is a reflection of the glory of the Lord Jesus, of the measure of His love. It's a wonderful thing. But what I want to talk about is an eclipse. What's an eclipse? Well, an eclipse is an interruption of the vision of a heavenly body by the interposition of another body. You have eclipses of the moon, where the moon reflecting the sun is darkened. And why is the moon darkened? Because the earth comes between the sun and the moon. What's the picture that God gave us in creation? Of what? Well, I believe our reflection of the Lord Jesus is affected by the earth. By the earthly things that take up our time, our affections, our resources. And instead of reflecting the glory of the sun, our testimony is darkened by the earth. Makes sense to my soul. It's simple. But what about lunar eclipse? The sun was blotted out in Luke 23. When the light of the world went into darkness for you and me. Is it possible, and brothers, sisters, for us individually or collectively, to blot out the glory of the Lord Jesus by our partial understanding, by our misunderstanding, by over-understanding of things perhaps too wonderful for us? In Him are hid all the mysteries of wisdom and knowledge or intelligence. It's all in Him. And I only know them in part. And so do you. And I'm sure you know more than I do, but it's only partial. The thoughts that have been laid on my heart recently, I want to share with my brethren here. The table of the Lord. The Lord's table. Receiving at the Lord's table. Who receives at the Lord's table? The Lord. It's not the Lord, it's not the Lord's table. And if it's the Lord receiving at His table through responsible ones, obviously we have responsibility with that. It should bear the character of the Lord. Romans chapter 14, verse 15 rather, verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Think of that prodigal son when he came home. He was received before he got home. What a reception he got. From the Father. You think the Father ran up to him like this? No, he had open arms. He was longing for that boy to come back. Would the Lord's heart be different? At welcoming those He died for? Whether we're receiving them in restoration or receiving them as what they are, truly members of his body. I am guilty in my soul of failing to reflect in my way of dealing with this subject, of not truly reflecting the Lord. And I'd just like to mention this for our exercise, because it's not easy. Two aspects in connection with the Lord's table is the ground of the one body that includes every redeemed one, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and the authority and the respect due to the person of the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord. And if he's the Lord, we do things the way he wants. He's the Lord. We submit ourselves willfully to what he wants, the prescriptions from his word. That's how we do things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Brother mentioned this verse this morning. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Wow. The blood of Christ. Millions of redeemed ones by the precious blood of Christ. Members of the body of Christ. Wonderful. It's all Christ. His blood. And his body, which is the church. And then he goes on to exhort them about the fellowship. And I would like to suggest this thought to you in connection with my exercise, and I'm really open to be corrected on this. I wouldn't feel free myself to remember the Lord anywhere else than at his table, where he has drawn us around himself, where we submit to his word, where we let the Spirit of God minister the truth to us and lead us in song and worship and enjoy his person, where he's the theme and the center of it all. Like the Son in creation. There's the Son in redemption. He's the center of it all. It's all about him and us in him. But if one came as a member of the body of Christ, redeemed with its precious blood, and he wanted to remember the Lord in his death, and perhaps was not clear as I would be as to where I would go or not go, but in simplicity of faith, he would want to remember the Lord in his death for us. I'm persuaded the Lord would greet him on the ground that he washed him with his own precious blood and that he's a member of his body. That belongs to that person. That belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to me. And so I just suggest this, brethren, because it has enlarged my heart in considering these passages, that the table of the Lord and the Lord's Supper is under his lordship. We can say many things in our discourse about the Lord and yet betray his character in how we behave and how we do things. May the Lord help us, dear ones. May the Lord keep us from anything that we would take out of proportion to eclipse his glory. Is it possible that our being taken up with things that pertain to the church would blot out the vision of the sun? Well, that's what the solar eclipse is. The moon gets in the way, and you can't see the sun anymore. This is the word of God from the first chapter to the last chapter. It has one object. It's not you, it's not me. It's Christ. And you and me and him. Wonderful. I hope you're on the train. If you're on the train, you're going to end up in glory. That's where it's going. You're destined for glory. How do you get on the train? You believe the gospel. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. And if you're on the train, as I trust you are, and your fellowship is with the Father and the Son, and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all my heart that the Lord Jesus loves souls. He loves the brethren, and He loves souls. And if you're in fellowship with the Son of God, and God our Father, you're going to love the brethren. You're going to love souls. Love puts you to work in edifying the saints, taking care of them, shepherding them, and going after the lost ones in the gospel. May Lord bless His word to our souls. And just leave this thought with you. May God keep us. May God keep me. May God keep you from eclipsing in any measure the glory of the Son by my partial knowledge.